Today's guest, Neil Boschart, would never fault anyone for raising an eyebrow at the suggestion to eat clay. If his grandfather hadn't purchased land with some clay deposits, he said he just might feel the same way. But Neil has been eating and wearing clay for most of his life. He penned the book, We Eat Clay and Wear It Too. And if you stay tuned, you might just do the same. Many times, common sense home remedies are the best. I'm Robin. This is Tributaries. Neil, I like your style. Your book on clay is brief and to the point, so folks can get to using clay instead of studying the chemistry or other theories of why it is kind of a miracle substance.
I kept it that way on purpose. Simple, short. I know there are a lot of books on clay out there. In fact, I used to sell those bigger books, and people would buy them and not read them. So I thought, we need something short and sweet. And that's why I wrote my booklet, We Eat Clay and Wear It Too.
Right. I like that second part, and we wear it too. I've been guilty of that myself. So, Neil, what was your introduction to using clay? I think everyone's got a great story about that.
My story is really quite amazing. My grandfather had bought a farm near the town of Redmond, Utah, back in the 1930s. On the edge of this farm was an outcropping of a material that was actually a clay. And in fact, Grandpa sold truckloads of that clay to line ponds, to keep ponds from leaking. And then we sold it also for agricultural purposes, but we had never used it medicinally. Until the 1970s, the health food people brought us a book entitled Our Earth, Our Cure by a French homeopath, which said that certain clays have medicinal properties. And this French homeopath was promoting a clay from France. But these health food stores wanted to know if our clay would do what the French clay would do. We didn't know. We had never used it internally. My father, I learned later, had used it once. When he was a little boy, he got an infection in his hand that was so bad it developed a bright red streak all the way up into his armpit. And when my grandparents saw this bright red line up my father's arm, they went out to this outcropping, this clay. They made a mud, a poultice out of this clay and packed my dad's hand in it and covered it with a towel. And he went to bed with a red line up his arm. He woke up the next morning with no red line. So the locals knew it would pull out infection. You know, who hasn't heard about putting mud on a bee sting? And this was just a very powerful mud. But this French homeopath, he talked of eating clay. And these health food people who brought us the book wanted to eat our clay. And we didn't dare even sell it to them because we didn't know if it was safe. But after testing, checking with the food and drug, having it analyzed, we began to sell it. And then, as we, meaning our family, had medical conditions that conventional medicine couldn't fix, in desperation, we tried our clay, and we learned it worked. It was amazing. Constipation, diarrhea, ulcers, it fixed them all. Initially, it was just out of desperation. But then, little by little, as we found out how well it worked, then it became our first aid kit that we would use first. And eventually, basically, it became our medicine cabinet.
Absolutely. And when it comes to medicinal clay, there seem to be three words that are important: montmorillonite, bentonite, and smectite.
And those are words in the geological field. Technically, montmorillonite and bentonite are two different words for the same product. When this geographic formation was found initially in France, it was near a town by the name of Montmorill, and so it was called montmorillonite. When this same material was found in the United States, it was near Fort Benton, Montana, so it was called bentonite. But basically, they are the same. There's a lot of different kinds of bentonites, a lot of different kinds of montmorillonites. Geologists tell you that clay or bentonite is one of the hardest things to classify because there's so many minute differences between one deposit and another.
Yes, I'm sure they have slightly different numbers as far as percentages of
which
minerals and trace elements.
Yes, which makes it difficult to determine, you know, what clay works, which clay will work, and which clay doesn't. In fact, Raymond Dextre, the fellow who wrote the French book, he said that there was no way to tell in advance really what clay is going to work medicinally and what clay isn't. So he said you just find a clay and try it. If it works, stick with it. If it doesn't work, find another clay. Some clays work and some clays don't. One thing that I really like is the fact that in 45 years of using it, we have never seen an allergic reaction. We have never seen a negative side effect. Now, yes, a few times there's been a healing crisis or a cleanse, but no allergic reactions ever seen in right. all those years.
Yes. Now, before we get into some of the uses and how the clay works, do you have a favorite historical perspective or story on its uses? It's certainly been used, as you said, who hasn't heard of putting mud on a bee sting? But throughout history, it's mentioned, isn't it?
Yes. A lot of times people, when they first become acquainted with clay, they hear how amazing it is and some of the amazing things that it does. They say, well, why are we now only hearing about this? But it's interesting that clay has been used since the beginning of time. Even Socrates and Aristotle, there's documentation that they used that clay was actually part of the rations of German and English soldiers in the First World War. The soldiers were actually issued clay as part of their rations because of how it would help detoxify and or clean up dysentery.
Yes.
Gandhi used clay. So, yeah, a lot of historical uses.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to clay, internal and external detoxing meet up where clay is concerned, don't they?
And the reason that the clay is so good for detoxifying is the clay has a negative electronic charge. And most free radicals, heavy metals, toxins, and poisons have a positive charge. You know, we all learned in high school chemistry, maybe even before, that opposites attract. And because opposites attract, then the clay with a negative charge is able to detoxify, to pull the toxins, the poisons, the heavy metals out of the body and to flush those off. There's a lot of documented stories of how animals in the wild will use clay to detoxify. There's parrots in South America that a regular part of their diet is a poisonous berry, but they don't die from this poisonous berry because another regular part of their diet is a deposit of clay. And so it's verified that because of the clay they ingest, the poisonous berries have no effect. You know, you look at an animal in the wild many times. If an animal is injured, you know, either in a fight with another animal or just, you know, sustains an injury, they will find a clay deposit and a mud deposit and roll in it.
Yes, it certainly fends off infection. And it's curious, too, isn't it, along those lines, that when farmers and ranchers put out clay for animals to ingest, they only take what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it saves on vet bills also, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, many times animals will self-medicate by ingesting the clay in their ration, if they have access to it.
Could you talk a little bit about what you have seen with the clay? We just spoke a little briefly about how the internal and external detoxing meet up, because as a lot of people know these days who do a lot of common sense healing and home health care, if you have something on the skin, for instance, it's not just, oh, I better do something externally because I've got a problem with my skin. It's an internal problem first.
Correct. We have, I could tell you stories till noon tomorrow.
Well, we've got a few minutes for stories, so go for it.
Right. Well, probably the most amazing was, it was actually our very first experience of clay. There was a gal who was constipated due to the iron in prenatal vitamins. And this poor thing was so constipated, she was having one bowel movement every week or 10 days. And that's not healthy. It's not comfortable, and it's not healthy for either her or the baby, and she knew that. She tried through diet to get her bowels to work. They wouldn't. Finally, in desperation, she got a prescription from the doctor. It got rid of the constipation, but she laid in bed and cramped so hard with diarrhea, she was afraid she might lose the baby. Well, she didn't, but as soon as the diarrhea was over, the constipation was back. So in desperation, she tried the clay, and in 3 days of drinking clay water, as directed by Raymond Dextrate's book, in 3 days, she was having daily, easy, gentle, normal bowel movements. Our next experience was a friend of our grandmother. She had diarrhea so bad, I won't go into the details, we're on the radio and it's gross, but bottom line, after a week of drinking the clay water, the same that had helped this gal's constipation, in a week, that little friend of grandma's was here hugging me like I was her grandson, thanking me for the clay. And I said, don't thank me. I didn't create this. This is heaven's gift. This is God's gift to the world. He created it. We were just blessed to learn about it. And with tears running down her face, she just sobbed. She just said, you don't know how good it is to go out in public again. So according to Dextrate, the right kind of clay can bring the body into balance. It'll respond to the organism. It'll do one thing for you, Robin, whatever you need, but it'll do something else for me, what I need. So internally, it's been amazing. And externally, again, we have seen situations just like my father's blood poisoning going up his arm, drew that out overnight. I have a friend who had burns, serious burns. In fact, he spent a week in the burn center on morphine because they were doing the daily debriding. And after a week, it was no longer life-threatening, and so he was asked to leave the hospital. The hospital said, you don't have insurance. You need a cheaper place to recuperate. And so he went to live with his parents, and his mother's job was to debride him each day, to scrape down these burns and change the dressings. And he endured terrible pain because they wouldn't let him take morphine home from the hospital. After a week of that terrible existence, they learned of natural clay, and instead of using the gauze and silvadine, they used natural clay in a gel about like mayonnaise or mustard, covered with plastic wrap. His pain level went down 80% overnight and continued to go down over the next few days. Within 3 days, his discomfort was not the pain of the burn, but the itch of the healing. And they changed the dressing twice a day. He was never debrided again, never wore the compression socks again, and used clay for 30 days and healed without a scar.
Yes, and I'm sure there are some folks listening right now that are basically sold, and I hope they are. But my point right now is that I would love for you to share how you would make that gel or that poultice, because especially for burns, it's very important not to let it get dry, isn't it?
Exactly. And to make it, it's very simple. Now, the recipe that we use is 3 parts water to 1 part clay. And that makes, you mix that up, and that makes a gel about like mayonnaise or mustard. Because water is different, then it may be that some clays might take more water or less water. But you want a gel about like mustard or mayonnaise. And once you've made it into that gel, as long as you keep it in a tight container, now Dextrate said it prefers to use glass, avoid plastic if possible. We have never seen a problem with high-quality virgin plastic, but we generally use glass with a plastic lid. You cannot use a metal lid because clay will cause a metal lid to rust within just days. But you make a gel like mayonnaise or mustard using approximately 3 parts water, 1 part clay, and then you apply that to any wound about a half inch thick. Now, if you're putting on a burn, you cover it with plastic or wet towels, because on a burn, you don't want it to dry, and plastic works great if a person can tolerate having their skin covered with plastic. If not, you can use a towel and just keep it wet. But you just keep that wet clay on that burn. You change it twice a day or more often if it starts to hurt. But it's amazing how many people, the first comment they make when they use clay on an external wound is they say, wow, it feels better. Some people call it an external painkiller. But you change it. You change that wrap, like I say, twice a day and more often if it starts to hurt. And also when you change that clay, It should not be stinky. It should have a very, very mild odor. If the clay stinks when you change it, it means you left it on too long. It means that it had absorbed all these toxins and byproducts of the healing process that needed to be changed sooner. And so if it's stinky when you change it quicker next time. Now, that's on a burn. And you just keep it under wet clay until it's pink skin. Sometimes it may be pink skin within a day or two. It might take a week. With my friend who was in the hospital with him, it took a month. Now, on an infection, if you were putting it on an infection like my dad's hand or on a spider bite or any other infection, then we'll still put it on a half inch thick, but then we'll cover it with fabric, with, you know, gauze or a dish towel or any kind of fabric to allow some drying, which increases the drawing on a wound. Now, you don't want it to dry totally, so again, you monitor it and you change the clay, again, maybe twice a day if it's on a wound. When you change it, it should not be stinky. If it smells bad, that means it was on there too long and drew infection, the toxins, the byproducts of the healing process to it, and as it draws those to it, which is good, then, you know, those need to be removed and refreshed. So it's just like a dish rack in your kitchen, Robin. You know, if you don't change that dish rag often enough, it can get smelly.
Yes, or water with flowers.
Yes, but again, you change it. You know, once or twice a day, more if it starts to hurt, more often if it is stinky when you do change it. But we've seen the clay heal wounds that are just amazing. There was a fellow in Pennsylvania who had a chunk of flesh. You could have put a small lemon down inside that hole. And instead of going to the hospital, this fellow just went into the house, packed his leg in clay. He filled the hole with clay, surrounding area with clay, and then he wrapped it with vet wrap, which is like an ACE bandage. And he changed it twice a day for the first 2 weeks, and after that, he just changed it once a day. But he healed that wound totally from mid-March until the 1st of May. It took about 2 months, 2.5 months, and it was healed over with minimal scar.
And certainly dry clay can just be thrown on a wound, can't it, to help stop bleeding?
Yes, some people will do that. They'll use the dry clay on a fresh wound to stop the bleeding or to pull it together. Sometimes people will use the dry clay as a baby powder. It's the best thing for baby powder you'll ever encounter. Again, because it's so highly absorbent.
Yes. Now, I know you've spoken to so many people about clay, and what would you like to add that you either get asked a lot or would like to share with us further?
The main thing with clay, I would encourage listeners to just be creative. Using clay is more of an art than a science, so you can just be really creative in coming up with ways to use the clay. My wife one time put a sewing machine needle through her finger, tore a big hole. She put clay in the corner of a Ziploc sandwich bag and put her finger in that, and it healed that big, ragged, jagged rip from that sewing machine needle. She was out of pain within 15 minutes, and it healed it totally without a scar, without any pain. One thing I do tell people, a lot of times people will come to me and they'll ask, well, will clay help this situation? Will clay help that situation? And sometimes these are situations, ailments that I never even heard about. And so I'm quick to say, I don't know. But if I had that problem, I would do three things. And often I tell people that there's three ways to use the clay. And I tell people to take the clay internally. Like you mentioned earlier, many times external issues are really internal issues that are just coming out through the skin.
Yes, and so, I liked your method of just pouring a quarter cup in a gallon and letting it sit, and then you can drink the water off of the gallon.
Yep, yep. You want to stir it once after you put that quarter of a cup in a gallon of water, stir it up, and then at that point, you can stir it up each time you drink a glass off from it, or you can just let it set, never stir it again, and just drink the clear water off the top until you get near the bottom where you're getting more sediment than you want, and then you just throw that out and start over with a new gallon of water and a quarter cup of clay.
Right. And we haven't spoken about the array of minerals and trace elements, so it's quite a nutritious drink. And that's, I'm sure, why, aside from it holding a negative charge, why it helps so much with healing internally and externally.
I agree. And that's one of the things. The clay has over 70 trace minerals in it. And so that broad mineral spectrum and that natural balance, that may be one of the reasons why the clay has these healing properties. Some people attribute the healing of the clay, especially internally, to its high alkaline level.
Yes.
The clay is very alkaline, and most of us, sadly, are way more acidic. Our bodies are more acidic than they should be. So the clay is very alkaline, has the broad mineral spectrum, and then the negative electronic charge. Those are three explanations or partial explanations as to why the clay does the healing that it can do.
Yes, and I'm afraid I interrupted you, and you only got to the one of the three things you said you tell people to do.
Okay, and the second one is I would apply it topically. I would make the mud, like, you know, the mayonnaise consistency mud, and I would put it on wherever indicated. If there's a rash, if there's a pain, a wound, any place that you can think to use the clay externally, you know, put it on. Then cover it either with plastic or fabric. And then and change it as needed before it dries. Now, if someone makes a mistake and leaves the clay on too long and it dries to the skin, then you just get it wet, just get it nice and wet, and it can remove easily. And then the third thing I tell people, if I were had that issue, is I would either take a clay bath or soak my feet. Putting the clay in the bath water and then taking a full body bath, to do that, you use 3/4 of a cup. The clay that we use 3/4 of a cup. I know there's another fellow, the clay he was using, he was recommending 6 pounds of clay
bathtub. How did they get it to go down the drain?
After they got out of the tub, then they siphoned the water out, and then they scooped the clay off the bottom, because you can't let that go down your drain.
Right.
Now, this 3/4 of a cup, you can let that go down the drain. We put that down our drain into a septic tank for 20 years.
Right.
With no trouble whatsoever. And if a person doesn't have a bathtub, they can accomplish the same good with a foot soak. Just a basin large enough to, you know, hold their feet, deep enough to cover their ankles, and you only use 2 tablespoons.
Right. And I love the story, and it's worth hearing, I think, about the woman that used the water.
Yes.
You know where I'm going.
Yep, this lady called one asking me if clay could pull out heavy metals. And I said, well, I've heard it does, but I can't guarantee anything. And she said she had a case of shingles early in her life that left a lot of nerve damage. And in her older years, she was in pain all day, pain all night. And she felt if she could get rid of the heavy metals, she would feel better. So she soaked her feet in clay, which was good. And within days, she said she felt like she was 10 years younger, sleeping through the night, pain-free. Best thing that ever happened. That's the good part. The bad part is she didn't want to waste the water. So she used the water from soaking her feet to water her houseplants and told all her friends who she got to soak their feet also to use the water to water their houseplants. She killed every plant in her house because of the toxins that were in that. There's a fellow from Hawaii who killed a section of his lawn putting the water from soaking his feet on it.
Oh, no. I shouldn't be laughing.
Yeah. If you soak your feet, treat the water as a toxic material. Put it down the drain on a gravel driveway. Put it on your weeds.
Right. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah, it's toxic. It can be toxic.
Yeah. Well, if funny as it may sound, clay is actually one of my favorite subjects. And salt, clay and salt, I just feel like we need to use these things in our bodies on the regular. It's just such common sense medicine. And we were given so many gifts on this earth. And I'm so happy that you could share very specifically how we can use this particular one, the clay. It's been great for you. My gosh, you have, what is it, 8 children? And
yes, and seriously, as we were raising our children, the clay kept us out of the doctor's office and out of the drugstore countless times. Now, it's not a cure-all. It doesn't do everything. All 8 of our children were born in a hospital, so I'm not anti-doctor.
Right.
But if you've got something that works better than what the doctor has, why not use it?
Right. It's worth a try first, I would say, unless it's life-threatening, of course.
Right. Yeah. And the worst thing that we've ever seen happen is nothing.
Okay. The more I hear about clay, the more excited I am to share its wonderful healing properties. And I thank Neil Boschart so much for joining us today. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, or sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. Podcasts are on iTunes and a few other social media podcast sites. So if you can't find us on your favorite, please do get in touch and we'll take care of it. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.